It seems like when you have a second session after just right after another one, that we should give you something kind of more relaxing, right? And I think you will find this powerfully refreshing, but it's not necessarily relaxing. You may have to do a lot of focus here. It's going to be an intense ride, okay? And what we're going to do... Oh, could I have the... Is that up there now? Other things. Video up there. We're going to go over to Papua New Guinea. Now, I know that the Itau movie did not work out due to audio problems last night, but I do it, or yesterday afternoon, I do testify to the power of that film, and it's officially Itau, the Next Chapter, the part two, which is 32 minutes long. It's officially my favorite missionary video, period. Okay? So if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. One of the things that happens there is the first one talks about the conversion of this tribe as they come into an understanding of the gospel, and the second one reviews that, and then it shows how they reach out to another tribe, and you see actual live footage of the tribe's response to the gospel and when they believe. And then you see them going to their own people. The very day they come into belief in the gospel, Mark Zook, one of the missionaries there, he asked them, so what are you going to do with this message? And, well, we don't know. Well, aren't you going to take it to others? Well, we don't know how. Well, if I show you, we'll do it. Yes, yes, we'll do it. And they get all excited again. So that's a powerful moment. Well, we're going to go over to the same part of the world. I have two sisters who have labored in Papua New Guinea. I could tell you the story of one tribe that my sister and her husband worked in, the Basorio people. What a story. I'm not going to tell you that now. But just, again, the gospel breaking through. And God accompanying it with his power. Do we have this now? Do I need to do something up here? Oh, what's that? It's not what? It's all set up. Okay, yeah, you can turn it on. I mean, I'm showing it here. Just not. Is that not on yet? The projector's not on. That's the problem. Okay. So this now, what we're going to see is... my sister's niece, daughter, my niece, and her husband, Mark and Holly Woodard. And they moved into this tribe in 2001. And they were there for, they had a lot of challenges, both their co-workers and they, with physical problems. My niece's, her husband's oldest son, Brant, had a brain tumor. They had to come back to America, go to Chicago, operation. Andrea, you'll see her picture shortly here. The wife of the other couple, Brian and Andrea, she has incredible skin problems, had to deal with. And so through all of those things, they stuck with it. 2001, learning language, learning culture, you know, remote tribe. Eventually they got an airstrip in there so they could fly in. And they saw the gospel break through. Now what I'd like you to do with this, as we go through this story, I want you to, you can either write it down or just think it, but find at least one takeaway. And when we're all done, we'll just open it up. If you want to just share one thing, men and women, feel free to share what your takeaway was from this. What's one thing that just really blessed you or touched you through this? It's an interesting approach we're going to have here, too. I'm going to be reading you prayer letters that Mark Woodard wrote during this time that they were presenting the gospel chronologically to this people. And so that's what's kind of amazing about what we're doing is I'm going to read you a pile of prayer letters, but they're powerful. And what they are is he had a video camera set up. Every time they were teaching and the people are responding, he set up his video camera, not so much for the video, but for the audio. And so he could transcribe it from the Baguido language into English. So here we go. Father, help us as we take this journey over to New Guinea, this country with 830-some languages. And just we thank you for those tribes that have heard the gospel and so many yet that need to be reached. Father, send forth laborers into your harvest fields. Continue to open minds and hearts and intervene in the darkness of these people. Thank you that everything for their salvation has already been accomplished. And we pray that they'll come into an understanding of you and what you've done for them. Amen. All right, this was just a slide from our previous study. You know, I just say this so relates to what we're going to see here. There's this problem, confusion, syncretism, and the solution is that the gospel story be made clear, and it's done through laying those foundations, and the target is that they will repent and believe, that they'll see, have a change of mind and believe the good news. All right, and there was that little slide we had on syncretism that totally applies to this tribe because these Baguido people, they had their own beliefs. Then a few decades ago, Catholics came in and evangelized them, actually got them to call them, become Christians, and to even do church. They were doing mass. They changed their names to Christian names, and yet they still were in darkness. So that's the backstory to the Baguido people. And where do you start? This was a slide we ended with in a previous presentation. Jesus met them where they were. This is what the missionaries did. You go in, learn their culture, relate to them, listen to their story. That's how you learn about them, and you tell them God's story and message. And that's what we're going to see happening here. So let's take the trip. 2001, Mark and Holly, Brian and Andrea, they move into this tribe. They're in Papua New Guinea, going into the Sepik, the low region, with rivers and mosquitoes and hot weather. And you go up a river. They all had to do it by canoe. It's at least half a day. No, I think it's more than half a day. It was like a half a day canoe trip to a certain airstrip, and then they flew out from there. Yeah, so just a long journey. In fact, that's still how it is. They do not have an airstrip in their village. They have to journey from that. So they're really isolated. That's flying into the airstrip, and then from there, it's a half day journey to their village, something like that. That's Mark. And again, the two families, Brian and Andrea Holmquist, and Mark and Holly Woodard. Holly's my niece, as I mentioned. Just the area that they're in, along the river there. You'll see mud on their faces. This is what they do in their culture to show joy. When someone comes back from a long trip, they had just come back from being in the States, I believe, in this picture. And so the people put mud on their faces, and they put mud on their faces, and it's a way of showing joy. There's some of the locals. One of the couples there. Their kids. And so one of the things they did as they learned the language, they began to teach the people to read. And so by the time they could really get into presenting the gospel, you know, they're still learning terms for presenting scriptural truth and all this, and they're starting to translate some of the scripture. And they're talking with people, and it's pre-evangelism, you know, why do you believe what you believe? And getting them to even start doubting what they've been believing and their need for God's truth. And so they already had a bunch of people that were literate by the time they came to the day of presenting the gospel. A special teaching house had been built just for the purpose of teaching them the Word of God. How many people in that tribe? About 160, I believe, that were coming regularly to hear it. And so they began in January of 2008, and they began to tell the people about the background to the Bible and just go through chronologically. So here we go now on our reading prayer letter excerpt journey. After teaching on the first 3 days of creation, Mark asked Lanius, what do you think about what you just heard? Lanius just shook his head as he looked around at all that he saw around him and said, One day is all it took for him to make all this and what I can't even see. Mark, I don't even talk these days. I just go sit quietly in my house and mull over what I'm hearing. A miracle, Mark comments there. He knew these people and the kind of people they were and what, you know, their indifference in at the beginning, they just wanted their goods, you know, kind of thing. Sepi, another man, was sitting in the front row of the teaching this afternoon. Brian asked, how can God do this? How can he make all these things? It only took him one day to make the sun, moon, and stars. Sepi said, he answers, because he is the Papa owner. I just was blown away when I heard Sepi throw this back at Brian. Many other questions are being asked, like, you mean before the years even started, God was there? Wow, we've never heard talk like this before. Why would God have us live here for almost 6 years before we were able to start this teaching? We still don't know. But what we do know is that we have solid relationships with these people, and these people are listening to the teaching, and they are awestruck and enamored by our Creator. What a place to be. They are in love with who He is so far, and we are only just finishing up creation. So animals and rocks and trees don't have spirits. We thought that before we heard God's talk. We were only going by what our ancestors told us. Now we know the talk of the Bible, and the Bible says that animals were different from Adam and Eve. We believe that our dead ancestors roam around and do bad things to us. But this is not what the Bible teaches us about death, is it? Our ancestors' stories have no base to them. They don't have the Bible in them. You guys, listen. Our ancestors, imagine this is in a teaching meeting. You know, these things are coming out. Our ancestors' stories have no witness in the beginning, but we are hearing the talk from the witness himself. This has been our problem for years. We have been joining together our ancestors' talk with the pieces of the Bible we have heard. I am telling you, our stories are not true. God's talk is true. Hungry for God's talk. The people have decided they would like to teach us to teach every Thursday through Saturday, once in the morning and once in the evening. Many of them go live in their jungle camps for the days in the first part of the week to gather enough food to last them during the teaching days. Thanks so very much for your part in seeing God glorified in this part of the world for the very first time. Bonapus was just on my porch. He and I were eating some pineapple together, and I asked him how he liked the teaching, and he said, "Wow, Mark, this is good talk. My inner being is happy with this talk, but we are just at the beginning. When are we going to get to the ending talk?" Bonapus is one who said a few years ago, "Mark, I'm afraid that you and Brian are going to do all this work in translating God's word for us and then go back to America and never give us the secret of getting the white man's goods." God is working in hearts. After the lesson on Cain and Abel, there were several women just sitting quietly with their heads down, deep in thought. One older mother put her head down and just started crying. "I'm so sad for Eve. Her one son killed the other son. That would be like if my older boy Jeffrey killed his younger son, brother Benedict. I would just cry and cry." The leader man of our village, Raphael, that's Mark's tribal dad, stood up and said, "When God created Adam and Eve, they were clean, having pure inner beings. We see that Adam's inner being turned filthy when they ate that fruit. Like produces like. We see that we were born with a filthy inner being, and we will produce kids with filthy inner beings. My question to you is, will there ever be a way to get back the pure, clean inner being?" Everywhere we go, the people are talking things over. We went past the man house, a cultural spirit house, where only men can go. And what were they talking about inside? You guessed it, Noah and the big boat, and how their ancestors' stories do not line up with the Bible says. You may know that practically every tribal group has this flood story. They also have the concept of sacrifice, interesting, but perverted. After the first two Noah lessons, Raphael stood up and said, "At that time, only people that agreed with God lived. Now here we are today. We are people who go our own way and still get our dirty inner beings from Adam and Eve. We live like people who never knew God. How did that happen?" Then later he stood back up and said, "People, listen to me. I am telling you, our ancestor stories are not true. God's talk is true." Can you see repentance coming in here? As they're having a change of mind, being prepared for the good news. Wow. After he sat down, back down, the four of us missionaries just looked at each other with tears in our eyes, thinking, we are seeing God moving right before our eyes. They are not only tracking the teaching, but they are believing it. Here's Holly, a note from her. "I'd like to tell you about my friend Monica. She is a tribal woman with about 8 children, 2 of which died shortly after childbirth. Her last 3 kids are very close together, ages 3, 2, and newborn. She has been faithfully attending the Bible teaching meetings with her kids in tow. This past week, during a meeting, her 2-year-old fell off the bench, flat on her face. So I took the baby boy to hold him while she took care of the other 2 girls. She was hustling in and out of the meeting, settling their tears, getting them a sago pancake to chew on, trying to keep them entertained and quiet so she could listen. On the way home, walking home, she was carrying her baby boy, and her other 2 daughters were pulling and clamoring at her sides to be picked up. She simply didn't have enough hands. Her husband is a man that took a second wife about 2 years ago, and is not exactly the picture of a good husband. So walking home that night, I told her that I was so sorry because she is such a busy mom, and she has to work hard to keep so many little people to keep happy all the time. I fully expected her to say something like, 'I know, it's a hard life, and we just do it.' But she didn't. Instead, she said, 'I know, but look, it is what God has given me. Our big creator, he gave me these kids, and he also gives me my strength for my task. He sees me and knows how I am, exactly as I am, and he knows about me and cares. I got tears in my eyes as I listened to my tribal friend, who is not yet saved, but was ministering to me. I know that goes along with your message, Nancy. I asked Nancy what you taught on about not complaining, so there's a little example to go with your teaching. Understanding substitution. Well, you know, they acted out a lot of things as they taught the people these stories. And here we go, one example. This week was a powerful story of Abraham and Isaac. We enlisted the help of Ben, a Mariama man, and his eldest son. Mark acted as the narrator, and Brian was the angel of God from outside the meeting house. Abraham prepared an altar with chopped firewood. Then he bound his firstborn son with skin bark rope, his hands and his feet. He placed his son upon the altar and held the burning ember of the fire that would light it. His knife was raised and poised to take the life of his son when the voice of God told him to stop. I have provided a lamb in his place. We have emphasized over and over the promise of the coming Redeemer, as they call the getting back man, as we trace the godly line of Christ through history. Each name that is taught is hung in the appropriate chronological place on the timeline of beads above our heads. Pray that these people would continue to come faithfully. We have had almost the whole village at every lesson this week. No one wants to miss a thing. Pray that they would internalize truth, not just with their heads, but with their hearts. Pray for God's moving amongst their hearts. We realize this work is only by the Holy Spirit's power. Pray that we would be culturally relevant, willing listeners, and able communicators. This battle will be fought and won on our knees. Friday night, God gave us the wisdom to end the week's teaching with the Passover skit. We taught the biblical account of the Passover and ended with the Holmquist being the Hebrew family that listened to God and did exactly what he said. The Woodards played the part of the Egyptian family, with Mark being Pharaoh. Brian and his family slaughtered a wooden sheep we made that had a bottle of blood in the back of it. They caught the blood in a bowl and then painted the blood on the top and sides of a doorframe, just like God had told them to do through Moses. Then they went inside their house, ate the whole sheep, and went to sleep. At each step, Brian played the part of the Hebrew father, explaining to his children, and especially to his firstborn son, Trenton, why they were doing this. Mark's family just mocked God and the actions of the children of Israel, and then they went into the doorframe of their house, and everyone went to sleep. We had a tribal man, Tony, play the part of the death angel. He came through and looked at the blood on the Holmquist doorframe and passed on by. Then he came to the Woodard Egyptian doorframe, and seeing no blood, he came in and touched, killed their oldest son, Brant. Brant was sleeping up on the teaching table so everyone could see what happened. The Woodards woke up crying and wailing, got mad at the children of Israel, and told them to get out. The Holmquist family woke up, and everyone was still alive. The Holmquist left, and the Woodards carried their dead son out of the teaching house. Many of our tribal friends were crying, as they are very concrete thinkers, and to see what happened like this firsthand really hit home to them. They could easily understand and relate because they know the birth order of our kids and which one is the firstborn. Everybody just sat there with their heads down. Many people were crying. You can imagine with anywhere from 110 to 160 men, women, children, and a dog or two that have never sat in on a teaching like this before. The noise level in the meeting can be pretty loud. But when we stood up to ask if anyone had a question, Raphael, Mark's tribal dad, stood up and spoke for the crowd. With tears in his eyes, he said, "How can we have any questions with what we just saw? Our inner beings are cold and heavy after what we just saw. We have to mull this over and talk about this one for a few days. Then we might have some questions." Many, many villagers had a similar response to Raphael's. A handful of women stopped Holly and Andrea on the way home, on the way up the trail to our houses that night, and just wanted to talk about what they had seen and heard. "Our bellies are so full and heavy with this talk right now. We are seeing it is true. They, the Hebrews, put the blood on the doorpost of their home, and their first son did not die. I want to hear the next part of this talk. Just a little insert here. As they're teaching the people, you can see some of those in the audience. And they had created a set of beads. So they had done a string with 6,000 beads on it, and every 100th bead they painted white. And so it was a timeline going across the teaching hall like this. And it gave them a sense of chronology as they taught the people. And they had these pictures about the stories. And so they would hang the story in the appropriate place on the timeline. So that's what that shows. What people are saying after hearing the teaching on the law. The great creator being gave the Israelites his 10 regulations. But he did not just give it to them. No, he gave it to us as well, so that individual people, one by one, will know and say, "Oh, great creator being, I am a man with a very bad inner being. I am a very bad man. The only thing I will get for my bad behaviors is death. I will die and go to the fire that does not die. You made the big fire for those with bad behaviors to go. I am severed from you. Therefore, I put my big thoughts on the one that you said will come and fasten me back. I put my big thoughts only on him, and only he, the getting back man, will buy my death spot." We were born in Adam, and then we heap more bad behaviors on top again. Every time we try to take a step on the road, we are on the Bible teaching knocks us down. We go to the teaching and we think, okay, we will follow this talk and make our way to God. Then it knocks our legs out from under us. No one on this earth will say, "Me, I will go to God on my own." The law taking its effect, huh? We were teaching the law 2 weeks ago at a camp in North Carolina, and a boy came up after with tears in his eyes, and he said, "So I can't go to heaven. I can't go to heaven." "Not as you are." He got it, though. And he also understood the good news and found that. One of my favorite things to do these days is to just walk around the village and pop into the houses and see what is going on inside. This morning I popped into the house of Bonapus, one of our oldest men in the village. He was inside all alone. I asked him, "Bonapus, do you really believe this Bible talk that is being taught?" He thought for a long time. He thought for so long, I almost started talking. Then he said, "Mark, I sure do believe the talk is true. And when I die, what will I say to God? I have learned that I have a dirty, sinful inner being. I was not only born in Adam's family, but I do bad things as well. Now, what will I say to God when I die? Does he have a plan to clean my dirty, sinful inner being so I can be with him?" This may not be like a big breakthrough to you, but I was so excited when I heard him say these words. The Catholic priests, as Jennison says, have always told us, keep your customs and follow God as well. We don't want you to drop your customs. Mark, this is what has messed us up. We have so many customs that are not what God likes. They are terrible. So we have tried to bring church and customs together, and it does not work. Look, we see a sick man, and we go pray for him. Then we come back with betel nut juice and hot stones and try to talk to our dead ancestors and do spirit work on him to heal his sickness. This is trying to hold two roads. We are seeing now that it is either God's road or Satan's road. And Gertrude, one of the women, the Catholics before, they told us some of these stories, but we never got it. They were just stories. They didn't sink into our bellies and make us full. We couldn't understand them all and what they were about. Now we are getting the real talk, the meaning. Brian writes, in preparing the New Testament lessons, Tony has been my main helper. As we wrote the lesson together relating to John 1, 29-34, and Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, something incredible happened. While Tony has been tracking all along and understanding what is being taught, that day something really clicked for him in his mind. His eyes were opened and he saw a ray of hope. He is still working at piecing it together, but he suddenly saw the connection between Abraham and Isaac, the Passover lamb, and Jesus. Week 9 of teaching. Listen to this conversation between two tribal women after our last meeting this week. Berta, did they still sacrifice lambs to cover for sin at the time when Jesus was born? Gertrude, she's answering. They did, but you know what I think? I think that when John the Baptizer said that this is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world, I think that Lamb is going to be Son Jesus. Isn't it amazing to see them making connections like this already? That will keep us smiling all week. Thank you for continually going to the throne on our behalf. This battle will be fought and won on our knees. Well, last night, the final lesson of the gospel presentation was given in Mariama. By the way, you know, as many as I'm reading here, I've cut out way more than I'm reading to you, okay? There are a whole lot more to draw from here. So it was presented in the Mariama is the village. I didn't tell you that. God has brought many, many out of darkness to himself. Gary's my brother-in-law, the father of Holly. What do you do with 100 new believers in Christ? He had written in his own prayer letter, because they're there in another area of New Guinea. But rejoice! That's what you do. And so Gary and Annie flew out there to meet these new believers. That's their adopted daughter, Hannah. They have 5 of their own and there's 6 kids with Hannah. Just hanging out with some of the believers, chatting with them. Well, change does not come easily. There are days that we feel that some of the people take 2 steps forward and 1 step back. Here is what we mean. They have always held to animistic beliefs, blended with some religious beliefs from church groups. These infiltrate every area of their life and range from things like sacrificing the blood of chickens to appease dead ground spirits to chanting a prayer over a tobacco plant to make it grow good. Now, they are confronted with coming into a new belief system, and while they are ready and willing to make the shift, it is still a gradual process. Think about it. If you always have done something one way your whole life, then to suddenly change patterns of behavior overnight is a bit difficult. But we are seeing it happen gradually. One man said to Mark this week, "Mark, we need to be patient with God's new kids here in Mariama. Mark, teach us and bring us along slowly. We won't change fast. We have eaten in Adam's family for a long time." I'll just insert this. Our brother Craig in our group, Jonah 3, was talking about repentance in the life of a believer. And you're seeing it both here, aren't you? Did you see the repentance happening in their lives as they're coming into an understanding of the gospel? And they're just changing their thinking until they finally understand it and they believe. And now the repentance on the believer's side is what we're seeing here. That need to, wow, God needs to change me. I need more change of mind here and behavior. The church. The body of Christ is still growing. We are still hearing testimonies of those who are being added to the church daily, like it says in the book of Acts. It has been so neat to hear and watch as certain people who did not come into a clear understanding initially are now understanding and being saved. Most of this is happening because their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are passionate about sharing what Jesus' blood did for them on the cross. We are meeting several times each week. Wednesday afternoons and Saturday mornings are what they call Bible school time. We are continuing to review basic things from God's Word, like what God is like, what does He expect of His people, what is the church. The big topic for discussion this week has been, what does God say the church is? This was a bit of an eye-opening lesson because it was about the word church and what that really means. What is the church? Who is the church? And why do we do church every Sunday? I asked all these questions in light of how they have viewed church. They see church as just another ritual in their arsenal of rituals to appease and manipulate, and as a way to make God happy with them. After this lesson, one man asked, "Okay, we heard the lesson today about what the true church is, but why are there so many different church buildings around that say they do church?" Mark's tribal brother stood up and said, "Listen, I too always just thought that we here in this village were a Christian community because we have been playing church every Sunday for so many years. But now, we just heard the truth this afternoon. This is true talk from God's Word. Now I understand that we are God's kids. We who have believed in the Son, that great Creator being sent, we are the church." We were thrilled to hear them understanding that God says the church is his body of believers. God is building his church here in this village. It does not get any better than this. We had a men's meeting the other night from about 8 p.m. to midnight, just sitting around talking, asking questions, and processing what they have heard from God's word so far. At the end of our time, Ishmael closed in prayer. This was his own idea, and here is what he said. O great creator being, you alone are on top. There is no one like you. We are hearing your talk, and it is so very sweet. Great creator being, it is now dark, and we are going to our houses to sleep. Our kids and our wives have been sleeping for some time now. O great creator, wake us up in the morning with new strength and new thoughts from you. Listen, we are worried about our sister, talking about Andrea with her skin problems. This sickness is inside her and it's coming out all over her body. She is going back home to get help, but we know that you know what the sick is. This is not hard for you. You sent your son to walk on this earth and he just touched people and spoke to the paralyzed, the blind, the deaf, and people with bad spirits, and they were healed. So that is what we are asking you to do with our sister. Monday and Wednesday evenings around 8 p.m., or whenever everyone gathers, since we do not live in a time-oriented culture, we have ladies and men's meetings. They are more like a Bible study question and review time. It is very different than what we are used to in our Western culture. There is no starting and stopping time, no stand-up and stretch breaks, no one brings a plate of sweet or savory. Long live the Corinne. Rather, it is just 3 to 4 hours of sitting around talking about the things of the Lord. The light is dim, the floor is hard, and the fellowship is awesome. The most incredible thing has been to hear them answering each other's questions from what they already know to be true about the Bible. The ladies have been meeting in Godfred and Maxia's house. They have a large family and one of the biggest houses in the village, so it works out well. This week, Holly asked them if they mind hosting this every week. Here was their reply. This house will only be a house for God's talk. We will have no other kinds of meetings in here or meetings that don't mean anything. No, our house is for God's word to go forth in, so anytime you want to gather and meet here, we will be talking about the things of God and talk of the Redeemer. These are days that we feel that some of the people take 2 steps forward and 1 step back. Here's what we mean. They have always held to animistic beliefs, blended with some religious beliefs from church groups. This infiltrates every area of their life and range from things like, did I already do this? Yeah. Let me see. Is that? You know what? Let's skip that one. I think that's a double slide. All right. Moving on. I'll remove that later. So Silas and Rita are a young, newly married couple with a new baby. Silas is on fire for the Lord. This is what he shared at our first Sunday evening meeting, believers' worship time. Some of you know that my wife was hard in the beginning. Me, I heard this talk and knew right away that this was the talk for me. Then when I heard the part about the Redeemer and what he did for me, I knew he did this for me. But my wife was not like that. She would listen, but her inner being was hard as stone. One night, our little baby got really sick in the night. He was burning up with hot fever and started to pass out because he was so sick. It was after we had heard the story about a baby in a nearby believing village. In this village, the parents prayed to God because they had no medicine. God chose to heal that little one. We were in the same situation. It was the middle of the night, and our house was so full of people that I could not even roll over and pray. It was raining outside, and there was a lot of noise in my house. So I just stood up and pressed my nose against the house post and called out to God. I can do that now, and he hears me because I am his kid. So that is what I did. I don't know why, but at that moment, I felt like half my body was getting rained on. I got back under my mosquito net, and our little one fell back asleep. In the middle of the night, his fever broke. My wife got up in the morning, and our baby was still alive and even doing well since the fever broke. My wife turned to me and said, Silas, I believe. This great creator being that you are so excited about, I believe. He is all powerful. We have seen his power this night. Now she is in God's family as well. And I love it that we are walking together in the same family. And when we die, we won't go to the everlasting big fire. No, we will go to heaven. Matu is an older man who had been known in the village as a leader and as the local weatherman. Not news anchor weatherman, like you might be thinking. Rather, he is the one who actually works his magic and tells the rain to come or stay away. Matu has a strong personality, and he is one that understood and believed that Jesus died for his sins even before we had completed the teaching of the gospel. However, when you have been making rain all your life, it is not an easy habit to break. Last week, we were scheduled to have believers meetings on Saturday. Instead, we had a full day of pounding rain. Sunday afternoon, Matu told us his story. I saw that we had rain and rain on Saturday, and I thought to myself, this is a bad day. This is not a good day to sit down and hear the words of God that we need to be taught. So then Mark came down to in the rain and told me to pray for a good sunny day on Sunday so we could hear God's talk. I thought tomorrow needs to be a good clear day with hot sun and dry ground, and we can meet together as believers and be taught from God's word. I thought this to myself on Saturday night, and then I thought about doing my magic to make the rain stay away. And then I stopped and I thought about God. He is the one who created all things. Surely it is he, not me, that controls the weather. And so in the middle of the night, when I was ready to go to bed, I looked up and saw only black clouds. So I lifted my hands to the heavens and said, "Oh God, my God, our great creator being, you alone are God, you only. You are the one who created all that we see, and you are the one who made the rain and the clouds and the thunder and the lightning. Only you, God, can make the rain stay away and give us a clear day tomorrow to hear your thoughts. So please, God, I'm asking you in the name of your son, Jesus, to give us a dry day tomorrow. I know that I am nothing on my own, that I can think that I think I can do it, but it is only you. Oh, God." After I prayed this to God, I went into my house and went to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I saw that it was a clear, sunny day. God answered my prayer. Their public transportation there is canoe, right? So you can understand why they're going to relate to that. People constantly walk to talk about what God is doing in their life. Florian asked, "Okay, I'm a believer, but what about the things that I do wrong after I'm in God's canoe? What does God have to say about that?" Raphael gave a sideways glance, smiled, and nodded as if to say, "I got this one." This is when he finally laid down his knife, axe, and baskets down and started preaching in his Raphael fashion, starting slow and working up into a black preacher-like frenzy. He said, "Florian, it goes like this. Let me tell you, there are some that have heard the talk, but it just goes in one ear and out the other. It does not stick. But then there are others of us who have heard this talk, and we have followed this talk all the way to the end. We know it to be true, and we have put our trust in Jesus Christ alone. We are in his canoe, never to be taken out." Listen, Florine, when you believe and he puts you in his canoe, it's just like when our great creator being shut the door of Noah's boat. No one could get in, and Noah could not get out. It was sealed, so the water of the flood could not come in. God, too, has provided the door. It is Jesus. Florine, I have walked through that door, and I am in the great creator being's canoe, never to be taken out. But listen, at the same time he put me in his canoe, it was at that time that Jesus' blood cleaned me. Don't hear me wrong on this next part. When I sin again, Jesus does not die again and shed his blood again to clean me again. No, this cleaning work is done. It's like the blood continues to flow over me day after day. When I sin, the sin does not stick to me. The blood washes it away. This, Florine, is the answer to your question. Then he looked over at Robin, Robin and me, and gave this little grin as he does and nodded. On Saturday night, Ishmael showed up at our door, like most every night, just to catch up on the day and talk at 9 p.m. We started talking, and he says, "Mark, hearing God's word from the roots up really has been an amazing thing. Now I am God's kid, and whenever I see others from other villages that don't know, we always get into conversations about God and his word. Mark, they are just so very confused, like we were when you guys first came to live here with us. Mark, it was so much fun. They had so many questions for me. When I talked, they just sat there with their mouths open. They could not believe what they were hearing. Mark, I just started right back at the beginning with Adam and Eve and told them the Old Testament stories. And then I told them about the Old Testament sacrifices that the Old Testament people had to do. And then about how Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice. It was so much fun. By the time we were done talking, we had talked 4 hours together. Ishmael and I were sitting in the dark. So he could see me, and I just sat there with tears running down my face as I thought, this man has the Holy Spirit in his life to teach and to guide him as he is talking God's talk wherever he goes. And to think that in my weak faith, I did not trust that he could stay away from drinking party. Mark had written that in an earlier prayer letter. Pray for Ishmael that he'll stay away from drinking so he can come to the meetings. All right? So that was a backstory there. And to think, he goes on, he was evangelizing those now around him instead. What an amazing privilege that God allows us weak vessels to pour our lives into these weak vessels. What an amazing thing. It just doesn't get better than these moments right here. I was thinking we have no greater joy than to witness our Mariam, a spiritual children, brothers and sisters in Christ, walk in the truth they have just started learning a few months ago. What a weekend. We took communion for the first time this past Sunday as a body of believers. We used broken up pieces of sago palm patties, the Baguido people's staple food for the bread, and two coconuts full of their coconut milk for the juice. Sorry, I got some misspelling there. Many stood to give testimony. Mark's tribal dad stood and said, "Some of us have been doing this action, taking communion for years, but today is the first day that God sees us as his kids, celebrating and thanking him for what he did in sending the getting back man." Ishmael's prayer for the sago bread pieces. O great creator being, you're way up. You're the highest. You sent Jesus down to us. You sent Jesus down to this ground to buy us back. His getting back ways. His body got beat up. With this sago bread this day, we are remembering that. He got ripped up to buy us back. When the men hit him, they tore his skin. He taught his disciples, "This bread that I am ripping off, it is like my body that is going to be ripped up for you." He taught his disciples that night, "O great creator being, you're way up. We put your name way up high. Only you thought of sending our getting back man down to this ground to buy us back well. So this is the day that we remember his buying back ways with this sago bread. It is our day to remember what he did for us." That's all. That's amen. Raphael's prayer for the coconut milk. Oh, our getting back man, the actions you did, the blood that fell down, that blood bought us. Here, I hold it in my hands. The actions that you did, we're actioning today the thing that you did. The example that you set with your disciples, now we're doing today. This coconut juice that we're holding in our hands, we're about to drink it. Yes, that's it. And then following the breaking of bread, one of the brothers gave a final word, and I cut it way down. Some great, great, great content in it, but I'll give you the summary here. Jensen's challenge to the group of believers gathered on Sunday morning. Guys, look at this. Jesus' death brought in the new contract. This is a celebration day. This is our first day here in Mariama that we have marked Jesus' death day on the cross. This day was Jesus' day. This is why we still celebrate this day today. Why do we celebrate this day? We celebrate this day because Jesus alone is our last priest. Jesus is our last sheep, and Jesus is the King of all kings. Why do we say this? Because he alone is our Redeemer. In the tabernacle, you were not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Jesus tore that curtain down when he died, and everything in the old contract was done away with. Now Jesus started the new contract. In the old contract, the new contract, this kind of day, this is the day of celebration. Some of you are thinking, oh, this is just another day and we're going to eat sago bread and drink coconut water. No, this is the day we were freed. Not all of us were freed. Only us that believe in the Redeemer, the getting back man. It was his thoughts to die on that cross to buy us back. This is very big. When you take the sago bread, you must think about what God did for you and celebrate this day. Praise God and lift his name up high, because this is not just any other day. This is a celebration day. Okay, This way of celebrating communion, it was started with Jesus' disciples and came all the way to us. And it will continue to go on and go on and go on until he comes back again. That's the end of my talk. From the Baguido Bible, back to English translation of Romans 15, 20 and 21. I am really happy to go and explain the good talk, to those who have never heard it. I do not want to go and put up the cross beams and rafters on a house where others have already stood up the posts. I want to follow the way spoken of in the great Creator Being's book. The talk in the great Creator Being's book speaks about the rescuer redeemer person saying, those who have not heard understood about him will hear and understand, and those who have not heard his true talk with their own ears, they will hear and understand. One of the most exciting things about the teaching down in Aganamai, a village some distance away, was that it was a total team effort. So it was a year and a half, I believe, after they had become believers, and now they're doing major outreach to other areas. The bulk of the teaching was shared between Mark, Jeniton, and Lambert. Raphael, Brian, and others assisted. Some of the ladies, like Gertrude and Justina, spent weeks there in order to help field questions after the teaching times. We have witnessed the birth of the new church. Yeah, that happened a year and a half after these believers came, that the church was born in another area. And so the believers from Mariama now were missionaries there. This past Thursday was a full day with a two-hour teaching skit segment in the morning and another one just like it in the afternoon. The guys reenacted the betrayal, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was very well received and a day filled with emotion. It was exciting to see three Mariama believers stand up at the end of the teaching, impromptu, and give a few minutes of their own testimony. You can feel the heartbeat and the passion that they have for their fellow Baguidos to understand and believe. I'm going to skip a few here due to time, but this is just talking about believers now in Aganamai, in this village, and just the great things God now is doing amongst another people. This talks about how they went through the book of Romans over a nine-month journey with the believers and just seeing them come into these understandings of truth. Oh, great Creator Being, as one of them prayed, thank you. Oh, I just thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. My thoughts are like a canoe. Your Holy Spirit is in front of me, paddling. Your Holy Spirit is behind me, steering the canoe. Your Holy Spirit is on the side and on the side. Me, I'm standing in the middle, paddling along. My choice is either paddle with him or paddle against him. Thank you for giving the Holy Spirit to steer me. And then they had an evaluation time for the church. And how often do we do that in our churches? Stop to evaluate. Why are we doing what we do? And I trust that the Word does that for us. But very intentional here. We are coming to a very exciting time in the life of the church here. This coming Saturday, we will ask all the believers to join us in a time of evaluation in the life of the church. We will be putting ideas from the Scripture to them and allowing them to evaluate where the church body is and how we can better function and grow. And so I'm just going to move on here a little bit. The evaluation service, words from the lips of a Baguido tribal believer as he stood to exhort and strengthen his fellow believers. Listen, guys, we are just a little community here in Mariama. It is like we are people of thousands. It's not like we are people of thousands and millions. No, it is not. Now is our time. Who will lead us? What will we do after the white man is gone? Do we hang up on the white man? Our hope on, that is, depend on. We use the same phrase in Wolof. Hang your hope on the white man, or do we hang up on our great Creator alone? What will we do after Mark and Brian move out of here? My brothers and sisters, let us go easily. Tread carefully. Go to the Bible alone. That is where the truth is. When I believed in my getting back man, I didn't follow Mark and Brian. No, they didn't bring America to Mariama. They just came and gave the truth of the Bible. I saw the truth in the Bible alone, and that's how I'm saved. It is not of Mark and Brian's words that I'm saved, nor is it of their American culture ways. No, it is the truth of the Bible alone. That is where we will find our answers. And so I'm just going to end there. Just to summarize what's left here, I realize I have a shorter and a longer version. I realize I put the longer version in front of you this morning, but so it takes longer to get through, obviously. But just to see the Lord's continue working and working in the lives of the missionaries through this December, that Christmas following their conversion in March, or was it May of that year, both Mark and Holly's families came out, their parents, to be with them. We are super grateful this year to be celebrating the birth of our Savior, not only with both of our families, but also with the knowledge that a group of the Baguido people have been called out of darkness and now know the true meaning of Christmas. What a privilege and joy. The baby in the manger is truly the getting back man. And so January 2010, they had 30% of the New Testament completed. By that time, too, the Spirit House, that's not the teaching house, that's the Spirit House where they did their spirit works and magic and all, collapsed, no longer used. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, the Lord has done a mighty work there. Well, I'm just going to skip those. I'll start there. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. So I'd just like to take just a few minutes. We have 4 minutes. Impressions, thoughts. What did you get out of this? What's a one takeaway, perhaps, that you might have that would be applicable to you, your church, your family, anything? Yes, sir. Yeah, so to see their initial reactions to this love for their Creator growing within them. Yeah. To see the power of the story, the Word doing that. Yes, sir, Chris.
Twice we can see that it was written, he wrote it down, this battle being one fought and one on our knees.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. You know, one thing they had done is they had sent out a prayer letter early on as they were about to begin the teaching, and they asked who would be willing to commit to praying for us daily and spending a certain designated time a day in prayer for them. Thank you. Prayer.
And not to be discouraged when we work with people. As one of the traveling men reminded me of that, you know, we're in safe in the world.
Yes.
So long.
Yes.
It takes time, and even us as believers, you know, to, when we're out there in our lives, we don't
Yes. Yeah, so just to realize that we're in enemy territory and not to be discouraged when there's opposition. There will be intense opposition, but we see the power again of prayer and the faithfulness of God. Thank you.
Yes. I appreciate their desire not to preach themselves, but Christ. And to see that that's understood and modeled.
Yeah. Are you referring to the missionaries or both? Or just
missionaries.
The missionaries. Yeah, okay. Right. So you can see that the Baguido people themselves, they that was modeled, that was the example there. So they realized that our hope isn't in these missionaries. They're like they didn't say this, but they're the scaffolding on the building, and now it has to stand. So our eyes are on the Lord. Good. Someone else? Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Just to see the work of the Word of God through the Old Testament stories, pictures, the law doing its work. And I thought it did come together because our brother again talking about repentance and life of a believer, but you see the change of mind taking place through the power of the Word. I'll tell you a quick story. The Basorio people that my other sister worked in, in New Guinea with her husband, that they received the same kind of teaching. And there was this anticipation, we're going to get to the good news, the missionaries would tell them, but just be patient. We want to give you the backstory first. And so when they got to the story of the children of Israel, and they see the hardness of heart, they see they're complaining and all this out in the desert. And one of the men said to the teachers there, the missionaries said, when you get tell us the good news, are we going to harden our hearts like the children of Israel did? You know, it was this fear of God that had installed itself in their hearts. They had a fear of the Lord. And when they got to the story and message, boy, tell you what, practically the whole village, they had 100 adults in that village, 70 confessed Christ the day the gospel was presented. And within, a month, they had 70 baptized believers. And they've reached out to villages. That was in 1983. One little story there is very precious. So they had been teaching all these weeks, and they said, now tomorrow morning, they had a teaching place too on the top of the hill, another area there. And that normally the missionaries started the generator, and that was a sign all the people come and gather at the top of the hill. missionaries had been preparing and praying during the night. You know, this is the big moment of teaching the rest of the story. And they'd started the generator, and they're making their way up. Nobody's coming. Everybody was already up there. They were already up there. They were in anticipation. And there in the valley, they saw a perfect rainbow. You know, my sister said, you know, you see often a part of one, right? But no, this was the full rainbow. And the people were so excited, they were saying, we know that God's going to speak to us today. They knew the story of the Noah and the rainbow, God's promise. And it was a day where most of them turned to Christ. Yeah, so another story. We'll take one more and then we'll close. Yes. Yes. That's right.
And all that to be said, some of us, like she and I, we can definitely say so much at this point in our lives, we are not called to a foreign field.
Right.
But frankly, we are encouraged that we don't have to be. We've got plenty of opportunities here. And this relationship building that we strive for is effective down the line. You have to be
absolutely
able to make that.
Yes.
Not in and of yourself,
right.
But being able to work with these people and that patience,
right.
And that labor and the intensity that it brings with them.
Yes. Amen. Right. And, you know, we had to wait 6 years too, first person to come to Christ in Senegal. But one thing, I think I was talking with Chris about this maybe the other day, that I heard a brother that I respect a lot. Lord's used him greatly in the Muslim world. But I had just listened to a series of lessons he did, and he maybe didn't mean it this way, but he made the statement, you know, reaching Muslims, go and visit them 20 times and talk about everything but Jesus. That's what he said in the message. And then eventually, you know, the thought was you're building relationships. And the Lord may lead you to do just that, but I wouldn't ever put that out like that, because Jesus, he's everything to us. So if you wait 20 times to mention him or to mention the things of the scripture, you know, then that would be a problem, because that's heavy on our hearts, right? And that's what we want to see them understand. But the Lord will guide us in that, because it often is, it may be 20 times that you don't get to talk about Jesus, and you're just pouring yourself into people's lives and investing into them and caring for them. So, amen. Brother Glendon, would you like to just close us in prayer?
Mm-hmm.